Let's pray. Lord, my desire is just that your word would go out, for we know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Pray that your words and your truth would be what is remembered, and anything of me would be forgotten. Pray this in your name, amen. We began this conference, and Mr. York made a comment about an advertisement where they said, rethink everything. And my mind went to the verse in Thessalonians where we are told to prove everything and to hold fast that which is right. And I've been reading in Mark recently, and I was reading the passage in Mark chapter 11 earlier this week before the conference, where Jesus is walking around between Bethany and Jerusalem, and he got hungry. And it says he walked by a fig tree. There wasn't any food on it. And that must have been a little discouraging. But at any rate, Jesus cursed it, and they went on. They came back by, and in verse 21 of Mark chapter 11, Peter had noticed the fig tree had wilted, and he said, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou hast cursed is withered away. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So that was something I've been reading in a devotional time, and recently I've been reading this book, More to Be Desired Than Gold, which is a compilation of fantastic testimonies by a guy named J. Christy Wilson, who was born to missionary parents in Iran, and then he was also, I guess, over in Afghanistan as a missionary himself. But God just really touched my heart with this little short testimony of a little Japanese gal. There's an Irish missionary, I guess, named Irene Webster Smith. She was a missionary in Japan before World War II. And one of the things that she did over there was start an orphanage for Japanese girls, and I guess she led them all to Christ. I guess one evening during their devotions, they read that passage in Mark where Jesus said, Have faith in God, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, Go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says, this will happen, it will be done for him. One little girl asked, Teacher, did Jesus really mean what he said? Irene Smith said, Of course he meant what he said. Why do you ask? The child went on to say, There's a large mountain between our Sunrise Orphanage and the Sea of Japan. If it was removed and cast into the sea, we would have a beautiful view of the ocean. This was too much for Irene's faith, and it was probably be too much for mine. She tried to soften the blow of disappointment by telling the little girl that Jesus did not necessarily mean a physical mountain, but rather that if we had problems in our lives, we could ask him to remove them, and he could. But the child said, But teacher, Jesus said if you say to this mountain, he's talking about a real one. I'm going to ask him to take it away. Not long after, they noticed there were bulldozers on the top of that mountain. When Irene asked the workers what they were doing, they told her that the Japanese government had decided to use it for fill. So they were going to transport it all and throw it into the shallow part of the Sea of Japan in order to reclaim the land. The little girl's prayer was literally answered, and the Sunrise Orphanage had a beautiful view of the Sea of Japan. And I was so blessed by that when I saw that, because it's just a previous chapter in Mark chapter 10 that talks about that we need to receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And that just so touched me. And so with the themes kind of tying together, this concept of faith and the concept of proving things and the being able to believe on the Lord as a little child, this weekend God has answered one of my questions about why do we have to suffer? Because somebody finished this verse for me. All that would live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. And it's been my desire since probably my mid-teens to live godly in Christ Jesus. But I have no desire to suffer persecution. And I have not understood that until this weekend. I'm beginning to get a glimmer of understanding. And possibly the best way to answer this is to use a little analogy here. This little instrument is a ukulele, or if you're from where they're made, they actually call them ukuleles. But this is a baritone, and I had two of these. Several months back, I thought, well, it'd be kind of neat if there was a bass ukulele. That'd be kind of a neat instrument to have. So I found some great big fat rubber strings and thought we'd make one of these. And so with the help of my friend John Kulin, we set to work. Well, the first thing we did is take the strings off, and we took this piece off, and we took this piece off up here. And then this poor instrument that used to have a form and a function began deteriorating because we sanded the whole face of it off and it didn't look so pretty anymore. And then we took all these little tuning pins out, and so now it had some holes in it. We began to rebuild it. We refinished the face and made it look different. We put a new bridge on it and put a new, we call this the nut up here, and began fitting the new strings to it. And we fashioned some different tuning pins. And, oh, by the way, somewhere along the line, it got a huge hole cut in the side of it for something like this. And it's just so interesting to see how you have a, it's just like in our Christian walk. We think that we are who we're supposed to be, and we submit ourselves to the Lord, and He begins to take us apart a little bit, and we don't understand it. And we think, why are you doing this, Lord? But as we got it all put back together, it began to resemble an instrument again. It looked a little bit different. Actually, it looks quite different. I didn't bring it to this conference because, unfortunately, in the process of testing it, it failed. I was tuning the biggest string up here, and this tuning thing, I had not done a proper job of soldering it, what I was doing, and it kind of spun off and zipped around, so I thought, I have to do a little work there. But that was interesting, too, because in the process of testing, it failed, and so it needs to go back into the shop and have a little more work done. And that's very much like us in our Christian lives. We can be tested, and sometimes we'll pass, and then God will go on to test another portion of us. And that has been revealed to me the other night by, I can't remember who said it now, the gentleman that was speaking, and he was referring to the passage in Peter, and he says, in Peter 4, that if you're being tested by God, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And it was those last two words that turned the light on for me. A faithful Creator. We are no more than instruments in the hand of God, and He can do what He wants with us. And as we become fashioned into the image of Christ, we're going to have trials exactly like He did. Of course we will, because we need to respond exactly as He did if we're going to be fashioned to the image of Christ. And that was such a revelation, because suddenly it doesn't matter if we're tempted and tested and if we suffer and if there's pain and sorrow, because I can now relate to that, because God is our Creator and He wants to change us both outwardly and inwardly. And I was just so blessed to think that it's a different perspective than the ukulele's perspective. It was thinking, why am I getting all torn up? Why do I have holes cut in me and all this stuff sanded off and just everything's being changed? But in fact, I'm turning it into a different instrument, slowly and surely. And I'll continue to test it. And as I was tuning it up, something failed. And so now it needs to go back, and it's going to have a little more heat applied as I re-solder that joint. But it was just a different outlook. And I've just been so blessed by this conference and being able to understand now why it is that we need to suffer. Is to be made into the image of Christ, because that is what God wants to do and to work into our lives. So it sure makes us look forward to when we see Him, for we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.